Welcome to today's broadcast of Lead to Serve, a leadership podcast with Ed Taylor.
Welcome again to another episode of the Lead to Serve podcast. My name is Ed Taylor. I'm the pastor here at Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. We've been here 22 years now and so grateful to be used of the Lord in these last days. And I know you are too. I'm also really grateful to be able to connect with you, receiving your texts and your emails. Thank you very much. We appreciate them here. I appreciate them. They come to me and I'm encouraged by them and your questions. Going to really develop a great season four with the questions that are coming in and the feedback that's coming in. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can always email me through my website, edtaylor.org. Remember, it has to be .org, edtaylor.org. Or you can text me, 720-608-0012. Our website for the church is calvaryco.church. And I mentioned before, get the app. We communicate extensively through our app. Make sure the notifications are turned on. And we want to connect with you. We want to serve you well. If we can help you in ministry, maybe you're a church planter, Sunday school teacher. If we can help you, we would love to as best as we can. And we want to keep those communication lines open. So make sure, contact me, edtaylor.org, or text me, 720-608-0012. We're coming very close to the end of season three as we've been reviewing together the book that we put together, Sure and Steady, Learning and Growing in Pastoral Ministry. And we're taking the principles that apply not only to pastors, but to spiritual leaders, right? Because ultimately, it doesn't matter what our role is, what our responsibility is. We are required to be found faithful, according to 1 Corinthians 4. It's required in a servant. It's required in a steward that he, that she be found faithful. That's it. And the difference perhaps between you and me is that, yeah, I have the role of pastor in the church, and perhaps you have the role you're serving somewhere in your church. Here's what's different between you and me: the responsibility and how much I'm accountable to the Lord for the amount of responsibility he's given to me. But in all ways, we're equal. We're serving the Lord. We love Jesus. We want to be faithful. We want to be impactful. And the difference, of course, is just what responsibilities God's given to us. And here's the thing. The Bible teaches us, Jesus told us that if you're faithful in a little, you're going to get more. That's the reward for faithfulness, more ministry. And I just pray that into your life, especially in the days in which we live. We need more faithful men and women serving the Lord. And listen, serving doesn't, it doesn't just happen within the walls of your church family. This is everywhere you are, all the time. You and I never stop being a servant. So let's jump into the topic today, and that is being a player coach. Have you ever considered yourself in spiritual leadership as a player coach? You know, I think of in baseball. Baseball is my sport, and there have been times throughout the years where the manager of the team was also a player on the team. So he had a responsibility of overseeing, but he also was in the game himself. And I think that's a great illustration of what it means to be in a position of oversight and leadership in God's church, that we are a player coach. And there are many practical and relevant ways to describe leadership and oversight. And a great picture is of a coach. Like, we're coaching, develop. That's a phrase that's been used a lot in spiritual leadership development, or in leadership development lately, coaching and mentoring. I think it's a great picture where we're helping others. When it comes to the church and spiritually, we help others fulfill their God-given callings, and then at the same time, never forgetting that we also are a player. We are in the game as well. Here's the thing. What I see as folks grow in relationship, they get more responsibility. Something happens at times where you think, well, I'm not a player anymore. I'm a leader. This happened a lot when I was in the business world. Just even working when I was an ambulance dispatcher, I would serve with somebody. There'd be two of us working during the day, and we'd be partners, you know, working for months and months and months. And then an opening came for a supervisor, and my partner, we would both apply for it, but they have more experience, so they get the job. And I remember one time, well, actually, I remember quite a few times where, I mean, we were working together, getting lunch together, answering the calls, really gelling together. You know, we had different responsibilities. We learned how to adapt to each other's strengths and weaknesses. Many of the partners I've had over the years, including working with my own mom, was beautiful and wonderful. But with others, I would see that they would get the job of supervisor and change so quickly. I'm like, oh, wow, you know, you used to work with me. Like, we used to work together. You know this job. But now they forgot that they're still a player. Yeah, they're going to shuffle papers now. Yeah, they got a little raise. They got a new uniform. And now they have a new name badge that says junior supervisor or whatever. But they forgot that they were a player, and they never made it. They never made it. They didn't last. And really what I learned over the years is you needed to outlast those people because they weren't going to last. If they didn't really care, if they forgot where they came from, they weren't going to last, even though it was very challenging to serve under that bad leadership. Well, the same thing happens in churches. People forget that they're still players, or what I like to say is you're still a believer. You're a believer first and foremost, period. It doesn't matter what role we have in the church. It doesn't matter what responsibility is given to us. We never stop being a believer. But when we are given oversight, we're on the field directing but playing at the same time. You know, Jesus taught us we don't serve in a hierarchical type of system like the world does. You know, Jesus said, you see how the world does it. You see how the Gentiles do it. But it's not going to be so among you. You're going to be servants. And I have found that the greater leadership and the greater oversight that a person has, the greater amount of service needs to come out of our lives. We never arrive at a place where we don't have to serve any longer. I know it's silly even to say that, but it's important. It's good just to be reminded of it and just think, you know, Lord, the more effective I'm going to be in your kingdom is directly related to my heart of serving you, my abiding presence in you. As I wait on you, as I wait in you, Lord, as I abide in Christ, I can't do anything apart from you, anything lasting, anything spiritual, any real fruit for my life comes from abiding. And we looked at that in a previous episode, that word meno, that to stay put, to draw from, and that natural relationship that fruit has with the branch, that has with the vine, that has with the vine dresser. And that Jesus mentioned that in John 15. Don't underestimate the power of your daily example in both overseeing and serving the Lord. They're both vital. We're that player coach. In Mark 6:41, it says, when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, Jesus looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all, so they all ate and were filled. Don't miss this. Jesus was serving with them. This is God in human flesh, and he is serving with them. This is something you see throughout his life. I know often we would look and think, man, Son of God washing feet. Remember that? Remember that episode where he's washing feet? He takes the place of the lowest servant of the house. And that's often used as an example of like, look, the Son of Man teaches. The Son of Man teaches, preaches, but he serves. And yet when you watch his life, he's always serving. He's always meeting people where they're at. He's always doing what needs to be done. He's always doing that which pleases the Father, what he needs to be doing. Or how about Mark 9:35? As he sat down, he called the 12 to them and said, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and the servant of all. So don't let a title get to your head. Don't let, and as you're discipling others, remember, this is a podcast not just for us necessarily, but as you're pouring into others, make sure they understand that titles mean nothing in the church, like the world makes them sound out. Well, you know, I'm the pastor. Okay. And I'm a follower of Christ. Like, we're both followers of Christ. Well, you know, I oversee the kitchen. All right, that's great. I'm glad you have that responsibility, but we're both going to cook together. So oversee and cook with me, and let's do it right. Let's represent the Lord properly. Let's walk in love. Let's show preference to one another. Again, Peter would put it this way in 1 Peter 4, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We need to manifest that the grace of God manifests through us as we serve with the gifts that the Lord has given us. Which leads us to the next topic, and that is, as a player coach, we're also an example. Whether you like it or not, people are watching you. People are looking to you for answers. They're looking to you, how do I serve God? How am I a dad in the home? How am I a mom? How do I study? How do I handle difficulties? And they're looking to us as example. So please don't underestimate the immense power of your example to others. And here's the thing, it's not like none of us can say, well, I'm not an example. No, all of us are examples. Here's the thing, we're either good examples or bad examples, but we're all examples. The Bible teaches us that we're to be an example in word, in deed, in life. So every area of a pastor's life, of a spiritual leader's life, of a servant of God, every area of our life is an example to others. What you say, how you respond, how you react to situations, someone is always watching, if only the person in front of you. But the person in front of you is absolutely important that you serve that person well. This isn't to say that we're going to be good examples all the time, but even then, there are opportunities for us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. I remember a situation not too long ago where I witnessed a pastor losing it, just losing it. And it was in front of a large group of people. And I'm just like, man, I can't believe I'm seeing this. But at the same time, I'm like, well, he's a human. He's frustrated. He's expressing that frustration. And I waited and waited and waited, and it didn't happen. And you go, well, what, Ed? What didn't happen? Well, I felt like this opportunity was, this situation, as ugly as it was a phenomenal opportunity for humility, where that brother could have just said, you know what, I'm sorry to the whole group. I'm sorry to the person they were addressing. This has been a hard season, difficult season, and what you're just saw in me, I'm sure is happening in you guys as well. But I just want you to know that would you please forgive me? My emotions got the best of me. The situation's been weighing on me. And it not like excuses, just humility and brokenness. And like, hey, you know, even if I'm a bad example and somebody sees it, I can take the reins of that in the power of the Holy Spirit and demonstrate humility, demonstrate brokenness. I mean, think about the power of this in your house. Now, growing up, I never really remember. I can't say for sure that it never happened. But I can't, in my memory, ever think of a time where my mom or dad, specifically probably more my mom, because she was the disciplinarian, I never really experienced her looking me in the eye and saying, son, would you please forgive me? I blew it. I lost it. Screaming at you, yelling at you, whatever it was. My mom was a very emotional person, and I was a very bad kid. So there's a lot of difficult interactions. But certainly she didn't handle them all correctly. But I never really remember her apologizing. She might have. She's in glory now. And my mom and dad are. And so one day they'll go, Ed, you had it all wrong. And maybe I do. But I know this, as a new believer with my own kids and blowing it so much, I remember the first time I got down on my knees and looked my son Eddie in the eye and asked for his forgiveness. It may not have been monumental for him, because he was learning, you know, in our home, growing up in our home, this is how he learned. This is what dads do when they blow it. But I remember how monumental it was for me, looking my son in the eye as the human that he is, a little guy, you know, my son. But he's created in the image of God. He doesn't need to be yelled at or you know, any of the stuff that mistakes that we make as parents. But I wanted to set the tone, and I really believe that it was God's will for me to be an example to him. And you know what, son? When we fail, we ask for forgiveness. When we fail, we mend relationships. When we fail, we admit that we are wrong. And this, your example in the public, your example in the private is so vital. And who you are, listen, who you are privately is who you're going to be publicly. You can only be a hypocrite for so long. So why spend all that energy trying to live hypocritically when you can just live simply and humbly? Again, this may not apply to you personally. Maybe it's just the Lord ministering to you, reminding you. But remember, when you're discipling others, it's important that they understand this. It's important that they grasp this. It's important that we know that we are examples. We need to be careful of this coarse jesting and you know, goofing around. And I see it at times where you forget that you're goofing around and you're doing stuff and saying stuff should never come out of your mouth, should never be done. It's not to say that you won't joke around or be happy, but you need to be careful to walk in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. People are always watching you, looking for ways to improve their spiritual lives. I would say that people are always looking at you, but not really telling you. And they're just following your example, kind of like what Paul said. We want to be able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, mimic me and do what you see me do as I follow Christ. And so be that example. You're a player coach. You're in the game. You're serving. You're overseeing. God is using you. Now remember, you're an example. Don't forget that. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart.'" Now, here's one of those passages where we're like, yep, yep. You know, and it's usually used this way, isn't it? "Don't look, you don't know me. You don't know my heart." Well, that's true. That's true. That part of the verse is true. But if that part of the verse is true, it's equally true that man looks at the outward. Man does look at the outward. So make sure your heart and your outward match. You know, don't cop an attitude where you don't know my heart. I don't, but I do see your outward. And on top of that, you are often judged in the church by your outward. That might put a lot of pressure on you, right? You're like, wow, and I don't know if I want to live this way, but the Lord will get you through it. You don't need to worry about everyone watching you or looking at you. Don't worry about that. Just understand that you live a life of above reproach. Live a life of integrity. Have your personal life in order as much as your public life. Because, you know, I think of some guys that have fallen over the years that have gotten into big, big trouble, sexual sin, stealing, disqualifying sins. Their personal life did not match their public life. And they forgot that they were still a believer. They forgot that they were an example. They had neglected the good examples in their life. And this is just the way that God has made us. He has made us examples. In Ephesians 5, verse 3, it says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." We got to be careful. We don't make dirty jokes or racist jokes or, I mean, seriously, why would those things ever be on the lips of a spiritual leader, of a believer, of a servant in God's church? 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers," listen, "in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." Think about that. Be an example to believers in word with what you say. Be an example to believers in conduct, what you do. Be an example of believers in love, how you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love them, and love your wife, and love your kids, and love your boss, and be an example in love, in spirit, how you carry yourself. Be an example of how you carry yourself in an atmosphere, in a spirit of love and grace and mercy. Remember we said in an earlier podcast that we have a responsibility to maintain an atmosphere of love? I think Paul's talking about this to Timothy. Be an example in your faith. Step out in faith. Trust God. Let people know. Tell your story of trusting God. And then finally, in purity. And that makes sense. Be a man or a woman of purity as an example of purity. That were people following your lives, that they can follow your life. And then again, Titus was told by Paul, Titus 2:6, "Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine," so how you teach, "showing integrity, be an example in reverence, incorruptibility," and then he says, "be an example in sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that when an opponent comes, they'll be ashamed, having nothing evil to say about you. Being an example is super important. Please don't neglect this part of your life. Please don't neglect the reality of you are a player coach. Just because you've become a coach in God's kingdom, now you're a leader, now you're an overseer, now you have more responsibility, you've been doing it longer. Don't become a player or a coach exclusively. Never forget, you're a player. You're on the field in the game. You're among the flock. You are still serving. Yes, God has given you more, but all that means you're going to serve more. I don't necessarily mean in quantity or time, but it means in heart. In heart, you can't let things get to your head. Nothing's more important than your surrendered, abiding life in Christ, where you draw direction and strength and resources from the unlimited resources of Jesus. And as you abide in Christ, the fruit of the Spirit will come from your life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, kindness, self-control. These are yours. These are yours by faith. So jump in and let God use you. Maybe on the flip side, as I'm ending up my thoughts today, you know, maybe on the flip side of this, you don't want to be a player. Like, people have been asking you to lead and oversee, and you're like, I don't want to do it. Perhaps the word of the Lord to you today is do it. You won't lose your identity. You're still going to be a servant. But God has been knocking on the door, wanting to enlist you in greater roles within the church. Go for it. Pray, get that confirmation from the Lord, but don't avoid it. Don't run from it. But jump in and let the Lord use you in greater. You go, but Edda, what if I fail? Well, I think we need to redefine failure to some point, because failure is just an opportunity to learn and to grow. And you're like, oh, I didn't get it right this time, or I didn't do it right. I messed this up, but not because you were in sin, but because you're learning and growing. And so let the failures in your life be opportunities for you to grow, for you to be strengthened, and for you to be built up. Again, thank you for being a part of the Lead to Serve podcast. I want to hear from you. Email me through my website, edtaylor.org, edtaylor.org. Text me directly, 720-608-0012. Text me directly. I know I love the feedback is always good. Lots of new relationships, lots of opportunity to strengthen and to be mutually edified. Our website here for the church is CalvaryCO, that stands for Colorado, calvaryco.church, and we love to hear from you. I love to be a part of what God's doing in your life. Love to hear feedback, love to hear your testimony. If you have questions, you want a future topic addressed in the podcast, then send me it. Send me your questions, send me your thoughts, send me your situation, and I'd love to hear it. Our next season is going to be made up of questions that we have received, and I look forward to receiving them, answering them, talking about them. And again, edtaylor.org, 720-608-0012. And let me just clarify, only texts, not phone calls, only texts to that number. And then, hey, until next time, may the Lord bless you. Leave a review, a positive review, wherever you get your podcasts. Helps get the word out. But until next time, the Lord bless you, encourage you, and strengthen you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Lead to Serve with Pastor Ed Taylor, a leadership podcast from Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. If you have a leadership question you want to hear answered on a future Lead to Serve podcast, please email it to pastored@calvaryco.church. And if you like our podcast, please subscribe, rate, or review us on iTunes, and share us with your friends on social media. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on the Lead to Serve podcast.